Brothers and sisters, our first scripture lesson comes from the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and then finishing up on verse 10. So let us hear God's word this morning. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a three-day's walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 more days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them. And he did not do it. Our New Testament lesson comes from the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. Let us hear his word, and may it bless us. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in the boat, their boat, mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Children of God, brothers and sisters, this is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for your word, for how it lights our path and guides us. We ask that it would hold us close and push our feet forward as we seek to move and be your people. We ask, Lord, that you would guide us and help us as we listen to your word today. May it be a light, and may it even convict us and change us today and tomorrow. Amen. If we look at moments in Scripture, sometimes it's hard to not look at the moving pieces and parts in them. If we look at certain miracles, the great moments, we don't look necessarily at the tasks, we look at the people and the parts. But sometimes we need to dial things back and look at the initial task. Look at the moment and see what the moment is. When we look throughout the books of the Bible, the judges, the prophets, all of them, when they are called to do something, the task needs our consideration. The moment that they are called to needs us to step back and look, because so often what they do through God's leading, through God's help and assistance, is accomplish the undoable. If we look at the tasks that God gives to God's people throughout Scripture, we see that so many of them are, in fact, what we would call impossible. Think about this journey to Nineveh that Jonah takes. Okay, Sure, we know the story of the fish, the ish gadol, the big fish. And we don't look at the task. Go to this foreign city, you, an Israelite. So Jonah is a foreigner called to a huge city, 3 days from point A to point B. Now, I realize it would take us a lot longer to walk from one end of the city to the other, and I don't even want to know if somebody's actually walked that from, you know, maybe Long Island. You walk from Long Island to, I don't know, the north end of the Bronx, or I don't want to know how long that would take. But understand, Nineveh is huge. It's a huge city. So you're asking one guy, one prophet, to go as a foreigner to this city and get them to listen to him. If part of the city listened to him, I would think that Jonah would maybe say he was set up for success. This is an impossible task to proclaim to all these people. And yet, what happens? The entire city turns and changes. The impossible happens. From a scriptural perspective, we look at this and we're like, okay, God, we know what's going to happen. God is going to do something. But just because God is taking part in this, just because God is that moving factor, doesn't mean that the task isn't impossible. And yet, God does a great thing through Jonah. But again, look at the tasks that Jesus does. All of the things that Jesus does. Look at, and again, we peel back the persons and we look at the tasks. You can't say, well, of course Jesus did it. Well, yeah, of course Jesus did it. But look at the task. What does Jesus do? Well, he heals the blind, makes the sick whole, casts out demons, and that's just the short list. He dies for our sins, rises, all of that. Impossible, we might say, except it happens. If we take the insurmountable that is in front of God, that is in front of God's people, it is all possible through some very confusing math. Even if we look at the call of the disciples, that's impossible. 12 future leaders that are going to help Christ build the church, called with maybe just the smallest of words, come follow me, I'll make you fish for men. Are we going to get up and go? And yet, with God, the impossible becomes possible. And I want you to think about those moments in the initial call of the disciples we see here. Now, as a Bears fan, I've had a lot of fun the last few weeks and months with everybody predicting what the general manager of the Bears is going to do with that first pick. Half of them say draft, half of them say use that pick on this guy. But the fact of the matter is, you're looking at averages. You're looking at picking somebody and saying, that is going to be the next great whatever. And Jesus, in a way, has his own draft of disciples. He drafts these guys, fishermen, to be leaders to a church. Fishermen, tax collectors, people, just average, normal people. Nobody with seminary training, nobody with that great background. And Jesus calls them. But he also gets them to follow him with such little words, such simple words. Come follow me, and you can fish for men. Now, we don't hear Peter say, excuse me, before you leave, what do you mean? Yeah. You don't hear the sons of Zebedee say, can we finish helping with the nets, and after that we'll go with you? No. All of a sudden, these average, normal people get up and go and follow Christ. There's something in the very fiber of Jesus that just is his own identification for being the Son of God, Christ, the Messiah. Would we ever, if God told us to call a group of people, pick this group, would we pick the disciples to be our disciples? Average, regular people? No. We're going to be perusing the laundry list of top-notch candidates. You know, this guy he's got a PhD. Let's go with him. Oh, this one, got a master's in sales. We'll go with that. They would all be picked from various other walks of life. And yet what happens? Christ picks those who we wouldn't pick, who we wouldn't expect to be picked. They don't have backgrounds in social work or sales or theology. They're not from the top families in the area. They are just like you and I, normal, average people. And yet Christ calls them. Now, there's this math that's involved in God doing the insurmountable. There's that insurmountable task that's on the one side of the equation. So it's insurmountable task, and then the equal sign, and then everything on the other side. Now, we look at it and we see Peter, for example. Peter is going to do this. And if we look at that math with our plain eyes, it's never going to happen. It would take beyond an insurmountable effort to get Peter to accomplish that task. It's never going to happen. And yet somehow, some way, because of the equation that we have, it does happen. There's a math that doesn't really work with this. Now, back in seminary, we used to always joke, and I had one guy who would always say, well, the answer is always God. When you can't come up with the answer on the test, you just write in Jesus or God, and you're always right. And I said, I wouldn't quibble with a professor on that one. And so what ends up happening is the answer is the extra added something on that equation is always going to be God. So Peter can accomplish anything on the other side, anything insurmountable with God. All the other pieces and parts, God's going to make that equation work out. God's going to find a way to get it to work. God's going to find a way to seed the hearts of the people of Nineveh, so that Jonah, with that insurmountable task of getting that huge city to turn away, somehow God makes it all add up. When God pulls 12 people off the streets, seemingly, and says, you guys, you are my partners for this church I'm going to build. You are going to be the ones that are going to go and tell of all that I've done. You. So we've got the 12 disciples, and we've got the mission of building up the church. And you do the math, how are these 12? And then there's the extra math of subtracting Judas and adding an extra later. But all of that math, how do you get it to all add up? because you have that multiplier, that extra something that is God. And that's the thing. When we look at these tasks, these insurmountable tasks, as Barbara said, cleaning the sewing room, somehow, some way, they get done. They get done. And we marvel at that it gets done, but we don't marvel at it, do we? We should. We should look and be amazed, have our minds blown that Jonah gets this entire city to convert and turn away. But it's so old hat that we look at it and, all right, God did something cool. Yeah. And we've talked about this before, how so many times we've allowed the amazing to become mundane. We've allowed those great moments to be blasé. Because we've seen it before. We've seen God do something great before. And it's, the problem is, when we look at these moments, when we look at what the moment happens, God does amazing things every day. But we don't see the amazing because God doing it is cool. God did it. You know, it's that thing we do within ourselves where the amazing becomes mundane. The reality is we don't have to understand that when theory says something is unaccomplishable, when theory says this can't happen, the simple math is it will happen. It will. It can. Because God is with us. Because God is working with us against, yes, insurmountable odds. Guess what? Look throughout Scripture. Look through the book of Judges, Genesis. Insurmountable odds, impossible tasks are full of accomplishment in Scripture. The problem is, while we know this, we know that impossible things can be made possible through God. We know that answer. We know that the multiplier is God. We can answer that. But we have a sort of test anxiety, if you will. Test anxiety with life. We look at those tasks. We look at what God has called us to do, called us to be, and we blanch at it. We wonder how, no, God, you got it wrong. You can't, no, I can't do that. No, I can't do that, no. So often, that is where we stop. When we have that test anxiety, when we look at the task, and because we only see the task, we forget the multiplier. We don't see the church, the support structure, the body of believers around us, with us as we journey. We don't see that extra push, that extra something that is behind us with God. We only see the task. When we only see the task, yes, we only see the insurmountable. But while we should see the insurmountable as we look through Scripture, we should also see that push that God has, that movement that God is through our lives and in our lives. Because God has called us to so much. But can we remember the math? And I realize I'm talking about math in worship, and not all of us do math well. But it's easy to see just the thing on the horizon. It's easy just to see Nineveh. It's easy just to see the end game for Christ and just stop in your tracks and say, how am I going to get there? Well, look around.
Take a minute, look around. Actually, look around, you know, look around. That's part of the way, that's part of that math. All around us is part of the math of how we're going to get there. How we're going to make the possible, the impossible possible today and tomorrow. That's how we are going to be God's people, by making the next steps, the next task that God has called us to do and to be. How we are going to live into God's call for us is by trusting in that support structure we have and that extra multiplier in our lives. So brothers and sisters, let me encourage you. However God is leading you, however God is calling you, however you feel led to be as God's child, live into it. Follow it. Don't let the questions of how am I ever going to do that stop you. Problem solve with that multiplier. Problem solve with that prayer. Brothers and sisters, may we live into our calls. Amen. And now, children of God, let us respond to him through our hearts. Let us pray. Gracious, loving, and mighty God, we thank you for all the ways you help us to accomplish the impossible, for all those ways you lead us, guide us, bless us, and keep us. We thank you, Lord. We ask that you will guide us in the use of our gifts, both the gifts that we give today, but also all the gifts we will use to serve you and your kingdom. Gracious God, guide us and lead us to be your people. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, let me invite you to share any joys or concerns with your brothers and sisters. We'll continue in prayer for the families of the high schoolers who lost their lives, but also all the high schoolers
who were ancillary affected by the loss a week and plus ago. Are there any other prayers? Then let us go before our Lord. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you, we praise you, and we ask that you will be with us. Your love and strength